But just stop and think for a moment.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtable, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationship. If you want to have a trusting, loving, and honest relationship with your mother or daughter, you're in the right place. I'm Dr. Bessie Fletcher, a Christian clinical psychologist and ordained chaplain, better known as Dr. Bessie. My co-host and I will share God's expectation of a mother and daughter relationship to help you with your healing process towards your best mother and daughter relationship according to the Word of God. So sit back with your pen and paper or recorder because we are coming after your heart.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. It's a wonderful day. Wow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I just thank God that we have another opportunity to come and be able to share what God has placed on our hearts. It's amazing just to be able to be in one spot and talk to mothers and daughters around the world. God is so creative. God, you know, the internet and all of the social medias, you know, no matter what is created and everything is created from God, he still gives you choice. He gives you a choice to do good with it or to not do good with it. Now, you know, if he gives you a choice to do good or bad with your body, he's going to give you a choice to do good or bad with a thing, whatever that thing may be. So we take the internet and use it to talk to mothers and daughters around the world to share something that will be a blessing to them. And we come on and we listen to the Holy Spirit, and we share what comes up in our spirit, and we do it with the good intent of being a blessing. So we hope that all the mothers and daughters out there, even the fathers and sons that listen to us as well, that you will listen and feel the Spirit and take it in as a blessing. Because there's so many things that can distract us these days that keep us from being a blessing to others, and even a blessing to ourselves. So with that, I welcome you for being with us, joining us this morning. Let's go in here. And I have with me my co-host, Deborah Tyler. Hi, Deborah.
Good morning. Good morning. How's everything?
Everything is fine. I'm fine. God is good. Can't complain. In control of my thoughts and my words for right now.
Amen.
Cynthia's not with us today. So you and I are going to carry this, drive this train on down today and see what the Holy Spirit have us to talk about. So how was your week last week?
A week was rather smooth, a really mellow week. Wasn't too much going on, so I was able to just work in a flow where I had time to catch my brother, had time to eat my lunch, you know, that type of thing. So it was a good week. And yourself?
Oh, it was good. But when you say had time to eat my lunch, I know I had a vivid picture of that. I saw you sitting down eating. And nobody's coming to your door, tapping on your door, and, Miss Deborah, can I ask you this? And, you know, it's something when you can't get your lunch hour. You know, but those days, and, you know, I can't say nothing, Deborah, because I'm sitting here working for myself, controlling, you know, pretty much have the opportunity to control my time, but yet my time controlled me a lot of the times because of, you know, I just don't really set aside that time and says, okay, between 12 and 1, I'm taking lunch. But I take it whenever I, you know, have worked till my body is saying, I'm hungry. You're going to have to stop. I'm feeling dizzy. And that's 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And after having maybe juice, toast, and coffee in the morning. So I don't know what my problem is other than just needing to be more organized and not answer the phone every time somebody calls. But my week was good. Can't complain. We got a lot of things accomplished this week. I'm excited about some rollouts that we are getting ready to do. So I have no complaints at all. I thank God we've had some people. I've seen some lives change this week, some prayers answered this week, some miracles happened this week. And I was just talking to God this morning, Deborah, and I said, God, you know, it's just amazing. It's amazing. I mean, God has, this week, Deborah, has said something to me and tell me, pray for this person. And I did that. And I called the person called me and said, Dr. Fletcher, I need you to pray for me. I'm on my way back to the emergency room. And I said, okay. So I prayed for the person and I used an example of a healing that God did in the Bible. It was the same thing going on. And I said, you know what? He did it for her and he'll do it for you. And by the time you get there, these are the things that are going to happen. And I'm telling you, it wasn't an hour or so later, the person called me back and said, oh my God, when I got there, they took me off the medication. The situation had dried up. It was just gone. And they were saying, oh, wow, you're looking really good. Everything, your vitals, everything, you know, just keep doing what you're doing. And we took you off the medication. And all you need to do is take 2 aspirins a day. I was like, wow. So we was praising God. And then here come God again. I need you to do this for this person. I said, okay. And I didn't tell the person. I waited on God. I kept asking God, did I understand what you said? Is this what you said? This what you said? And so when I called the person, we were just talking, and the Holy Spirit said, I had just finished eating some oatmeal. And the Holy Spirit said, she's eating oatmeal. And I just, you know, I mean, just talking like that. She's eating oatmeal. And I said, oh, okay. And he said, ask her if she's eating oatmeal. So I said, are you eating oatmeal? She said, yeah, Dr. Benz, I'm just sitting down to eat oatmeal. I said, I just finished oatmeal. I said, but you're not going to believe this. The Holy Spirit told me to ask you if you were eating oatmeal. And from that moment, then I told her what the Holy Spirit told me. And that's what's been happening this past week. And I'm seeing an increase of Holy Spirit saying something to me, and it's manifesting within the hour. And I'm like, wow. And we laugh. That's all we could do was laugh, because he showed himself right in that conversation to let her know, when I told her what he told me to tell her, that she would have faith to believe. So it's been that kind of week. And I can't say just this week. It's been happening periodically for the last, you know, in my mind, I could see it the last 2 or 3 weeks, and I'm noticing it. But this week it became a look like, you know, big, you know, just that boom in your face kind of a stuff. So It's amazing. I told him, I said, I'm willing. And he said, okay, you willing? Let's do this. So that's the kind of week I've had, Deborah, and things are just coming along. He's showing me things, and it's happening right then and there. And there's another one that he showed me that I'll be checking on tomorrow, and I'll let you know. But that's going to happen, too. It's like, boom. So we're in that place now. And you know, as the matriarch now, and building this piece for the last 2-3 years, working on it, that it seemed like it was a long time. And all the things that God was telling me, I kept saying to you guys, and it seemed like I was giving you premature promises, and I shouldn't probably have shared as much, but I had to share something. Nobody was going to sit around looking at me every other Thursday. not knowing that we're doing something or not doing something, you know. So I would share, and I see sometimes you all would look at me like deer with headlights, like, what is she talking about now? But God is manifesting those things that we talked about, and it's so amazing to see how he's unfolding this thing. I'm excited. And every day I get up and I say, God, you know, we have to pray for our health, and we have to pray for guidance and wisdom and understanding, because there is another side to this thing. And that's when we can get attacked, because the enemy don't want you to achieve what God has placed in your heart to do. So it takes a lot of talking, a lot of a lot of thanking God for his word fulfilling itself in your life. So I know that was a long journey to tell you how it was about a week, but I had to give God that glory, because it's just, it amazed me, especially the one with the oatmeal. That just took me over right there in time. So, but anyway, Cynthia is getting ready today. She's moving, Deborah. She's going back to, not going back to, they're moving to Georgia, and they have to be out by the end of the month. So family members and everybody came up today to help them pack up to leave.
Oh.
Moving is people I know. I told them. I said. But I'm happy for her husband, Al. His journey was to get back home to his family. And it seemed like it wasn't a thing that they could go straight there. It took increments, little baby steps, but he's actually getting his wish, and that is to get back home after 30-some years to his family. And
wow.
So that is good. That is good. All right. So if I can get you to pray for us this morning, Deborah, before we get started.
Okay. Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity today to be used for your glory. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for giving us keeping power, staying power, giving us the mindset to be right with you, aligned with your word, your promises. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thy is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, Deborah, our topic today is daughters. Who's responsible for your failures?
Oh, jeez. Who's responsible?
Daughters, who's responsible for your failures? I was like, okay, come on, Lord, let's do it. Okay, I'm going to go into what the Holy Spirit want me to share, and I'll come back, and we'll get your opinion on this and your what he's telling you, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh. All right, out there, mothers and daughters. You know, it's amazing, like I tell you, over the years we've been going in this thing. We'll be doing 15 years on December the 9th. Oh, my God, 15 years. Every Saturday morning live. This is a miracle in itself, praise God. But today I want to talk to you about the Mother and Daughter Matriarch Now community. The Mother and Daughter Matriarch Now community is a community, online community right now. And what we're doing, we're inviting you. If you have an idea, or if you have a program, a ministry, whatever services that you are offering to women and their families, to come and join us. All you have to do is go to matriarchnow.com. That's matriarchnow.com. Go there. Look around. You can look around and see everything. You'll see when you come in, you'll see the television show playing. You can see the media. You can look at the magazine. You can listen to our radio shows. You can look at the go to the shop. You can go in there, and we have products in there. You can order products. We'd love you to. That's a way of making a contribution to us by ordering something from our store. It helps us to build the Matriot Now community. We have the Matriot Now Project, and that project is a fundraiser to raise money to actually build a physical Matriot Now retreat. So go look, matriotnow.com. And you'll also see in there you can make a donation. You can go there, make a donation, click it, and we'll be most grateful. But don't forget, if you need an education, you want a college degree, you haven't finished college, you wanted to go to college, you didn't know how to do it, now's the time. Now is the time for you to start your college degree, to start where you stop. If you have old credits and you know that no one is going to take those credits from 20 years ago, but you have 66 credits, and you say, wow, I never did finish my degree. You can bring those 66 credits, and Dean Oliver and I will help you build it in and give you an expected date for graduation, and you'll be able to finish with your BA. We offer Christian clinical psychology, and we offer biblical studies. Now, out of all the degrees that you can get, there's none no greater than those two, because everything is based around the Word of God. When I say Christian clinical psychology, it is a combination of psychology and the Word of God. We infuse those things and build that around who you are and help you to be able to better understand the Word of God, as well as you apply the Word of God with the humans that you come in contact with on your daily basis. So again, matriotnow.com. Go visit matriarchnow.com. Thank you very much for allowing me to share that with you. And let's get on with our topic for the day, daughters, who's responsible for your failures? Now, you know, when the Holy Spirit gave me this topic this morning, we do a lot with mothers. And sometimes when I say a lot with mothers, I mean topics, you know, and sometimes people, it seems like you're picking on mother. People would say to me, Dr. Fletcher, it just seems like you pick on mothers. It's always about the mother. And I said, yes, it is. Who came first, the mother or the daughter? Think about it. So if the mother came first, then the mother has a jump on the daughter. If the mother's 20 years old and she has a daughter, then that daughter is always going to be 20 years younger than her mother. So that means that mother has 20 years of life experiences. May they be good or bad, or indifferent, it's 20 years. And that's 20 years that daughter's never going to catch up to. Now, that's the impossibility. It's never going to happen. So when I got the topic this morning, daughters, who's responsible for your failures, it just sort of brought back to mind some conversations I remembered over some counseling sessions and, you know, how daughters would come in and they would blame their mothers because, you know, if she had have done this and if she'd have let me do this, I could have been better at that. And, you know, it was always blaming. Now, we understand that a mother has a responsibility to put into her daughter or her son the Word of God, the wisdom of God, the right thing to do. But every mother doesn't have all of those things to give. And if you don't have it to give, yes, the daughter or the son is going to suffer. So that's why we invite you to join us with the Mother and Daughter Bonding Roundtables and any workshops or counseling or anything that we're doing, so that we can help you look at where you are, mothers, and get yourself on a better track so that you can take what you're getting and let it flow into your children. And you don't have to do a lot. As I was telling Deborah earlier, how the Holy Spirit is working through me in real-time action. And that brings me now to one of the young ladies that I was talking to this week, and she's experiencing so much love from her family that has been a strain from her for years. All of a sudden, they're calling her, inviting her for dinner, checking on her, you know, and she's just amazed. Oh, my God. And she keeps thinking, I've done something. Dr. Fletcher, I just thank you because, you know, you helped me bring my family. And no, no, I all I did was agree with you and told you what the Holy Spirit said. You followed the instructions, and God, glory, showed up. It's never me. Your family is calling you. Your family is being nice to you. Your children are turning themselves around. Why? Because you changed. You changed. You did the work that we assigned you to do. You did it every week. And when the Holy Spirit gives me an assignment to give to my clients, if they do the work, change automatically comes. And I'm not talking about months. I'm talking about in a matter of a week. If you do it for a week, 7 days, what I tell you to do, according to the Holy Spirit saying, do this, this, and this, by the time we meet the next time, that person's mindset has changed. And I've been doing this for years. And I could tell the one that does it. And when people want to change, they'll do the work. And that not one person has ever had counseling with me that has followed that first 7-day format and not seen a major change. And I told her, I said, as a mother, the love for yourself, the respect for yourself, and getting back in touch with your spirit, aligning your spirit with the Spirit of God, automatically aligns your spirit with your children. They don't even know what's going on. All of a sudden, they get this feeling, oh, wow, I wonder how mama's doing. You know what? I need to check on her. That's what I need to do. And then you get this phone call. Now, that's happened to 3 of my clients in the last 2 weeks. Because when I'm talking to my clients in the beginning, they'll say to me, oh, Dr. Fletcher, you just don't know. I don't think she'll talk to you. I don't think she'll just give me her phone number, please. Well, I don't know if she'll talk. I don't want her to be rude to you. Just give me her phone number. And I'll take the phone number. I'll just get on the phone and call. I pray on that phone number. I pray on the person. And then I talk to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will tell me when to call. And sometimes I can be walking across the floor and the Holy Spirit say, call so-and-so. I stop right then and call. That person's heart has been conditioned. Their mind has been aligned. And when I call, the nicest. That happened just yesterday. A mother who was in prison assigned her children, 4 of them, to her sister-in-law. That lady has been raising those children for the last 5 years. Can't get the children back. She said, oh, she won't talk to you. I don't think she will. Just give me the phone number. I held on to it for about a week or so. Yesterday, the Holy Spirit said, call her. I called her, and I'm telling you, we had the best conversation. We laughed because, see, it's how you come to people when you want to talk to them. You pray and let the Holy Spirit lead and guide you in the door. Because the first thing I said to her, I just want to commend you for being the mother that you are. To add 4 children onto your 3 and adopted them and taking care of them. That speaks volumes of the woman that you are. And I meant that too. And of course, I let her know the lady has never said anything bad about her.
always praised her for being a good and upstanding, righteous woman. And the first thing she said was, thank you. I was just wondering if I was doing the right thing. Yes, you're doing the right thing. Because it's all about these children. That's the first thing. And that's where her fence, her head to protection is around those children. And I'm not mad at her. But she said, yes, I'm willing. I'm willing to have a conversation. I'm willing. You see, when you wait on God and ask him to lead you into the doors, the door will open at the right time, and he'll tell you this is the time to do it. Stop going ahead of God. So, daughters, when you're out there and you're blaming someone because this is not working in your life, you need to stop, because it's not someone else. It's what you are inputting into your intra conversations, those ongoing conversations in your head. If you're struggling in any way, it's because you said so. If you're behind in your bills in any way, it's because you said so. If you're not getting along with your mother in any way, it's because you said so. If you're not getting along with your coworkers, your husband, your boyfriend, your best girlfriend, it starts with you, because you said so. Because whatever you say creates a thought in your mind. You see it in your eyes, a vision of it, and there it shows up in your life. If you don't like where you are, you change what you say. That's my mantra that I've been saying since 1979. Your words create your thoughts. And your thoughts create your visions. And your visions will manifest into reality. If you don't like where you are, change what you say. Because God said it best. As a man thinketh, so is he. So in order to think, you got to come up with some words. You said, well, I didn't say the word first. The thought came up. Some people say the thought coming for the words. No, because the thoughts are words. The thoughts are words. The thoughts are generated from the word. So we like to blame people. But if you could stop right now and write down five things that you feel, if I could change these five things in my life would be, some people would say perfect, or be so much better. Ask yourself, what are you agreeing to that you don't want to do or receive in your life? Just ask yourself that. What have I agreed to? And I could tell you everything that you agreed to. You say, how can you do that? The Holy Spirit telling you, Dr. Fletcher, this is not a game. But I can tell you everything that you have agreed to in your life. Now, you think about that just for a second, because I know everybody's saying, oh, you can't tell me that. You just, mm-hmm. Everything that you agreed to and what you are experiencing right now, that's what you agreed to. Whatever your life experiences are, you have agreed to that. Nothing can happen in your life unless you agree to it. Now, I know a lot of times people like to say, oh, it's the devil, he does this, and you know, the devil made me do it, and it's this, that, and the other. Well, you agreed to it. Yeah, you had to. Or God is a liar. You had to agree. You have power and authority. You have the power and authority to agree or disagree. And it's the slickness of it is that it comes so subtle, you don't even know you're agreeing. You'll have a thought in your mind. You know, you have this conversation going on in your head, your intro conversation, and you think you're talking to yourself. But this subtle little conversation comes up. And it'll tell you things like, well, you know, you should do so and so and so. And you're like, well, I don't know. Yeah, well, you know, nobody's going to know you're doing it. Nobody won't even know. You could do it. Nobody will never know. If you don't tell nobody, nobody will never know. And before you know it, you've agreed. And you do it. You get caught. And now you got the penalty from it. Same thing with your failures. Every failure come because you agreed to something that led you there. You agreed that everybody else is rich and I'm poor. You agreed that God loved them better than he loved me. You agreed that they got better luck than me. And you agreed that every time I try to do something, it never works out. You agree that the boss said you're going to get fired. You agree and you get fired. You know, you agree because somebody said, oh, you're not pretty. You don't look good. You're fat and you just that and that. You agree that, yeah, I am. And no, I'm not pretty. And you agree. You agree. You agree. And that's a binding contract. A contract is a contract between three people. Has to be three to make a binding contract. When I say a contract can be between two people, I know somebody said, oh, no, it could be a contract between two people. But the contract is between three different entities in this thing. It has to be you, whatever the contract's about, and the person that you're signing the contract with, the agreement with. That's three. It has to be three. So your contract is with you, whatever it is that you think that you are not, and the enemy, which wants you to agree. Now, once you agree, now you are bound to that contract. So you get the results of that agreement. Failure, because you agree, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. Nobody likes me. When I come around, nobody talks to me. You can be the most foxy, fine, sexy person and walk in a room and feel like you're not even there because you have no self-confidence. You look good, but you're hollow on the inside because you already made an agreement that you're not worthy to be there. You're not worthy. You're not good enough. You're not as good as the other ladies. They have husbands, and I don't have a husband. They have a house and I don't have a house, and you know, they have children and I don't have children, and they have education and I don't have education. And education is a big thing because people think if they don't have education, oh, they're slaves to other people. I'm not good enough. They're a doctor and I'm not. They're a lawyer and I'm not. They're a judge and I'm not. I just barely finished high school. I don't even deserve to be in the room except for serving. You agree. That's why you're serving. Because you agree. You can change that. You can cancel out every agreement that you've made in your life. This daughter ain't got nothing to do with your mother. This has nothing to do with your mother. And I'm talking about daughters of all ages. I'm talking to daughters who have become mothers. I'm talking from the daughter perspective. You can no longer continue to blame your mother, who's 90-some years old now, about the way she treated you when you were five. Get over it. And I know some things are hurtful, but you got to go to God. You can get over it. He will erase it from your mind like it never happened. You have to say, I canceled out. I was a child, and I didn't agree to those things. But as you grow up and in your growing, you got to be seeking God. You got to come to the point where you say, you know what? That may have happened to me when I was five, but I'm a grown woman now. And I forgive my mother. I'm done with that. But right now where I am, I'm taking position over my life. And I cancel out everything that was not of God in my life. Open my mind to receive all the good that God has for me. Because regardless of what happened in your life, it doesn't cut off the good that God had assigned to you. So don't blame other people. Don't live in failure and miss the gifts and the presence of God that he has assigned for you. You can't punish God for your failure to come to him and ask for help. That's the only failure that you have. Not going to God and asking for help and not believing it when you ask. He said, ask and it shall be given to you. He gave it to you. He said, knock. Knock on my door. I'm going to answer. I'm going to let you in. He said, seek, and you're going to find exactly what you need. Seeking means you got to be in the Word. You got to talk to God every day. You can't live today on yesterday. Oh, I prayed yesterday for 4 hours. Well, okay, good. You must not have done it with sincerity, because who keeps how many hours you pray with God, how many times you fast, how many times you go in and get on your knees? Who keep up with that? That's not what you do. It should be your life. It should be automatic. It's a relationship with God. You don't keep up with how many words you say to your girlfriend when you're talking to her. Oh, yeah, I said 229,000 words to her yesterday. You don't keep up with that craziness. So why would you keep up how many times you pray and how many hours you pray? And see, that's vanity. And God, you're not getting no blessings from that. He hates vanity. But when you do it out of love, it just happens naturally. But you got to seek God to get his glory. You got to seek God to get those blessings. And I'm telling you, you turn, cancel out all contracts. I do it every day. If I made a contract yesterday, I was like, Father God, anything that I agreed to yesterday that I shouldn't agree to, or any time up to this second, I cancel it out. I void it right now. It is null and void. Has no life. The devil want to play, he will have to play every day. He have to come with something new, and I'm going to cancel it out. Every day, all during the day, I cancel out any contracts, anything I've said to let the enemy to think that he's in an agreement with me or he got me in a contract. I cancel it out because I can cancel it out. No one else can cancel out your contracts but you. Your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, no one can cancel out your contracts but you. And I'm going to give you a prime example. Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin, and some of you may have heard him, Kenneth Hagin, and some of you may not. But check him out on YouTube. I've been listening to Kenneth Hagin for a long, long time, years. But the one thing about it that I like about him, I've never heard him share a testimony about his life that one word ever was altered. Not one word was ever altered. It was like he said it one time and it was recorded and it played every time the same time. When someone can tell you something and it never changes, that's the truth. He said God would send him to perform healings, to use his body to heal. This particular mother called him and asked him if he would come pray for her son. Her son was in a coma. And he said yes. He went. He got there. And he said when he walked in the room, the family was there, but there was a coldness in the room. A coldness, a feeling that he thought, this doesn't feel right. So he prayed for the young man. Didn't feel the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit never showed up. He prayed for the young man. Holy Spirit didn't show up. So he said, wait a minute, something's wrong. He walked on the outside. And he said when he was out there talking to God, he said, well, you know, something's wrong. He said, the Holy Spirit is not showing up. I came over here to pray for this young man for healing. So he was talking to his brother. And he told him, he said, I don't know what it is. He said, but I can't seem to, the Holy Spirit's not showing up. It's like something's blocking me from being able to reach the Holy Spirit. And he says, well, you know, my brother said that he wasn't going to live till he was 40. And he said, well, how old is he? He said, he's 39. He said, well, there it is. That's it. Because he said all of his life, he had an agreement, made an agreement that he would not live until he was 40. He was 39 and he was in a coma. So he went back in and he told the family, he's going to die. And they looking at him like he's crazy because how many people have you laid hands on? And how many people have you laid hands on and they've been pronounced dead and got up off, you know, off the bed? So, of course, they were shocked. And he said, well, because he has made this agreement. He said he will not live till he's 40. He's 39, and he's in a coma, and there's nothing that we can do. The only person that can actually remove this off of him is him. He has to be the one that says, I cancel it out. We cannot cancel out a contract or an agreement that he's made. Only he can do it. So he will die. And he did die. I know this is not a happy, happy story. But it's dramatic, but it's real to let you know, be careful with what you say. Because you don't know at what moment you're going to get into a coma. You don't know when you won't be able to talk to God. You don't know. Now, you got an intro conversation, and that guy in his mind is talking to God, but he spoke those words. He's the only one that could speak it out and cancel it. So you never know where you are. So daughters, stop blaming your mother. Stop blaming your husband, your friends, your children, and blame yourself because you have your voice, you have your tongue to speak life into your body, and it's up to you to start changing it and turning it around. And you could do it right now by asking God to forgive you. And if you don't know and haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, ask God to forgive you and ask Jesus to come live in your heart and to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Cancel out all contracts. Cancel out contracts of thinking that you're living in poverty. Cancel out those contracts and watch and see what happens in your life. You'll start receiving your good. Deborah? Deborah, you there?
Yes, hello? I am here. I'm here. I always have it on mute just in case. Just in case. Okay, so, wow. That was a whole lot of good stuff, and I tell you, you had me really thinking about the question: who's responsible, daughter? And so, you know, a lot of times these questions be right at home for me, whether it be something present or the past. And I just said, okay, God, you want to use whatever you want to use, I'm willing to use it and willing to say it, and. Because, you know, I never really held my mama responsible for any decision I made because at that age, at 13, I knew right from wrong. She taught me what she taught me. She gave me what she gave me.
And everything else that I picked up along the way was my decision to pick it up, because nobody forced me to lie. Nobody forced me to steal. Nobody forced me to take drugs. Nobody forced me. I was always inquisitive and want to know what that feel like and how do it operate. And, you know, I was just curious. And so going back to the question, now God says in Proverbs, he says 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. So that means at some point in the beginning, the parents are training the child the way to go. You teach them how to walk. You teach them how to talk. You teach them how to be nice, to share, to not be mean and not, you know, those things. But God is saying that there's other things that he wants them to know. He wants them to know that he's done. He wants them to know a lot of things. And so at a certain age, the child is responsible for his behavior. He know he was wrong when he threw that ball and hit that girl in the eye because he ran behind his mama and hid. Why was he hiding? Why was Adam and Eve hiding? They knew they was wrong when God came walking in the garden. But we don't have to be like 10 to know. We know when we're probably 7 that we just did something wrong. And so when you become aware that you're naked, Adam, who told you you was naked? Who told you you just fouled out? You just struck out? We know. The kids know. And they know more so these days because they're more advanced than my generation. They grow up faster than I did in the 60s, the 60 babies. So if they train them up, they can recite a song from Jay-Z from the top to the bottom. That means they have the potential to learn information and to hold it. It's about, are we training them up to the point where they're going to be held accountable on their own? At a certain age, children will become responsible for their actions. Now it's, ain't no more playing games. Ain't no more, my mama made me do it. Ain't no more, he made me mad. Ain't no more, you knew you was wrong. You at the age now. They calling me to the school to tell me that you hit somebody and ran down the street. Why did you run? You knew you was wrong. So now you know good and evil. God says, bring them up in the admonition of the Lord in Ephesians 6:4. And bringing a child up means that we teach them about God. Warn or reprimand. That's what it means, admonition. Warn them about evil and about decisions and actions and behavior. Once you give the warning, God is not going to hold you responsible because they're old enough now to know when they do good and evil. So now they're responsible for doing good or evil or both. And so, example, growing up, my mom taught me, stay in a child's place, be respectful, have manners, go to that school and get your lesson and do what you do. She taught me what she taught me. Taught me to church on Sundays, put my little dollar in the pan. Right? But between Monday and Saturday, there was a lot of stuff going on my block. I knew it was wrong to be in grown folks' business because I was taught to stay in a child's place. But no, it was something about what he was doing down the street that caught my attention at 12. I knew it was wrong because when I come back from the store, I would be fumbling around. Mom would say, what's wrong with you? What's going on with you? Because I was feeling some type of way like she knew I took the long way because I was being nosy over there in other people's business. She taught me to go straight and come back, but I deviated from the plan. And so now I'm responsible for, I went over there and snatched somebody's pocketbook. I never seen that before. I never, ever, ever heard of any such thing. But the enemy got into me early because he knew that God was calling me to go so well. So I made a decision under the influence of the enemy to take somebody's pocketbook. I'm responsible for my behavior. And so as time went on in my life, being young, all the things I did, I take full ownership for. I can't blame nobody for taking that first smoke. Nobody forced me and laid me down and put a gun in my head and said, smoke it. Nobody put a gun in my head and said, do. Nobody pressured me to do 90% of the things I did. I made a choice. And I had to deal with the consequences of my choices. But the ones don't know that those choices led me to prison. Those choices led me in a dark place. Those choices over the years caused me to be homeless, to lose everything I had. Those poor choices. God was holding me accountable. He said, W, you know right from wrong. Your mama trained you up. She trained you about this. And then so it talks also about not, as parents, as caretakers, we provide nourishment for the child, for their body, for their appetite, for their hunger. We also need to provide the spiritual food because we're a spirit being and a body that eat. And so there's an opportunity for us to keep teaching even after they're at an age where they're going to be held accountable for their behavior. So we don't stop teaching because they know right or wrong. We still along the way. As we learn, we pass it on. The mistakes, we're supposed to pass that on too. Not just, oh, do what I say, don't do what I do. No, I'm doing what you say because that's what I see. I'm impressed by what I see. I see you do it. And the kids are like, oh, well, mama, hey. So we got to be mindful of our behavior. Even after we grow and the Bible talks about don't be a stumbling block. Right? Don't be a stumbling block for people. So we got to be mindful of what we do, even after they're grown, even after they have the ability to choose to go left or right. We still got to demonstrate what God is calling us to be as believers. If you're not a believer, then sometimes the rules don't quite apply. But God said, if you believe in me, I believe in you. If you abide in me, I abide in you. You can do whatsoever you wish because you connected to the FPL. You got the power. So you can't really get the power if you ain't connected. So sometimes you say, well, you know, I've been doing it. It ain't working. Try your connection. Like they say when you call family, they say, hey, what's going on with my power out? Okay, let's reboot. Unplug, plug back in. And it usually solves the problem. But God is saying, okay, maybe you failed thus far. Maybe they've grown, but maybe they're still young. Let's just unplug, reboot, get another connection. Connect to the FPL of God. Because it ain't too late to try to do better. Some stuff is done and gone, and you probably can't rectify. But this point moving forward, like for me, this point moving forward, my mom, okay, I can't stay back there. I can't stay stuck. I made a mess of it. I made some bad decisions. I'm responsible. God holds me accountable. He gave me an opportunity. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you that you can do it because I can't do it. I believe you made me. You know how I should function. Well, let me follow your lead. But it took me a long time from a kid to now to get to start following God's lead. But God is saying, I'm going to hold you accountable. But if you come to me and you surrender, you cast all your cares upon me because I care. I got you. Just listen to my voice. I'm going to tell you, even grown, you know, when you go left, you say, oh, I should have did that. God done convict you, but you still went over the conviction and did it anyway. Then you got to repent, start over. We learn every day. So God is saying, I'm going to hold you accountable for the years you need to train the child. And when the child is old enough, and the Bible don't say what age, when the child is old enough to know good and evil, they will be held accountable for their actions. But you still need to keep pouring into them as I pour into you. So as the mother or the parent or the guardian get connected with God, and God starts teaching us things he didn't want to teach us forever, but now we're on the right page now. We listening to God because the word on beat us up for me. The word on drug me real fast, like a TKO. Now I'm listening to God because I've been beat up, abused, and, you know, but some of that stuff I brought on myself. Poor decisions. Doing evil. Can't blame nobody. That's all on me. And so now I take what I learned and I try to go back to the generation that's there in the teens, coming up, whoever listened, what God sent me, I just go and I share and say, hey, I used to be a fool. I made some foolish decisions. I'm no longer a fool. I'm considered to be wise because I got God on my side, and God is leading me to try to train up somebody in the way they should go. And admonition of the Lord.
Amen.
Because we're going to be held accountable if we don't give them what we need to give them. But they are accountable for the action. We'll be held accountable for not speaking when God says speak, for not doing what God says do. So everybody gotta give account to some actions and some decisions. And so I just pray that God will touch his heart and let this drop where it dropped, let it marinate where it needs to marinate. And listen, I'm not exempt from the message because it uses my mouth to say it. I hear it first because my ears are closest to my mouth than it is to you. So I thank you for allowing me to listen, and I thank God for pointing to us about how we will be accountable and how we can make it from this point on by listening to his instructions. Thank you for letting me share. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Man, that was real. That, mothers and daughters out there, we can talk theory all day long. But Deborah shared with you her testimony. And, you know, we all got a testimony. I could share. We'll be here for a week. The things that we could and look back at and wish that we hadn't have done. But we cannot. I just erased it and said, you know what? It's over. When the enemy come to me, Deborah, like saying some stuff, I said, no, I'm not engaging in that conversation. He has to leave. That's the quickest way. Nope, not going to engage in that conversation. Love to come to you when you're praying and talking to God. Nope. I'm having a conversation with God. I'm not engaging in that conversation. So what does that tell us, Deborah? It tells us that we have power and authority. We have dominion over Satan. We just need to start using it. That's what that's about. Thank you, Deborah, for sharing.
Amen. Praise
that
God.
Was good. Mm-hmm. That was good. All right, audience, I want to share with you before we leave. This was a good show. I'm telling you, it seemed like it's never enough time. But I want to tell you to go to matriarchnow.com, matriarchnow.com. Visit, join, send your friends and family over. There are going to be some exciting things coming up that we're going to share with you. You're going to be excited. We're going to show you how you can increase your income. God is getting ready to bless you financially if you're really ready to receive. So as the thing say, get ready, get ready, get ready. That's what's coming your way. And I want you to go to the store and support us. Go to matriarchnow.com and go to the store. Click on store and shop. That's what it is. It says shop at the top. Go in and purchase a mother and daughter bathrobe for your daughter, your mother, your family members. And that is a way that you can help support us with the Matriarch Now Project. The Matriarch Now Project is now ready to go, and it jumps full force in October the 1st. And you'll see and hear of opportunities to be a part of it. So we are not asking you to just give us a donation. We're just asking you to buy something that you already use, a bathrobe, bath products, things of that nature, that if you're going to buy it from somebody else, if you bought it from us, it would be a help from some of the profits. So, Deborah, it's been a great show, and I thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Amen. Have a good day, audience. Love you, Dr. B.
I love you, too. Be right back.
Thank you for joining us at the Mother and Daughter Roundtable, the place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationship. If you would like to ask Dr. Bessie a question about your mother and daughter relationship, go to contact@matriarchnow.com. That's matriarchnow.com. May the Lord bless your mother and daughter relationship. Blessings. The Mother and Daughter Roundtable is brought to you by Mother and Daughter Faith Trust Ministries. If you'd like to make a donation, visit matriarchnow.com.
All right, Deborah, that's our show. I love you. Take care.
Love you too. Okay, bye-bye, audience.
Bye-bye. Bye, audience.